Book of Romans, chapter number 3. Romans, chapter number 3. Romans, chapter number 3. When we find our place there, if we could, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible.
Yes, sir.
Still believe it's the Word of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I don't have to go around defending it all the time either.
Yes,
amen. Try to get on the offense of it and just take it and run.
Amen.
Amen. Verse number 9 of Romans 3. What then are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre with their tongues. They have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to bow before you, Lord, once again. Lord, as I bow before you, Lord, I feel so unworthy. But I pray that you'd help us, God, tonight, that, Lord, to fulfill, Lord, the call that, Lord, you placed upon our life. And, Lord, I pray that you'd please help us, God, tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd put a hunger, God, down in our soul, Lord, after the things of God. Bless these precious people, God. Give them ears to hear. Lord, I pray tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bind the force of hell. Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus Christ, God, would prevail tonight. Lord, would you please so arrange the atmosphere, the hearts and minds of the people to receive the truth of the Word of God. Remove anything that would fog the minds of the people tonight. May we have clarity of thought and clarity of mind to receive what thus saith the Lord. And God, we pray above all that you'd be magnified and glorified. Deliver us from vainglory, I pray. And we welcome you into our midst. Thank you now. We'll praise you. We bless your name for your goodness. Bless the name of the Lord, oh my soul. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll look at this scripture here and kind of take this text here and use it for the message I feel like God has placed upon our heart for the service tonight. And hopefully just try to do what God would have us to do tonight. As we look at this scripture, I want to take our text out of verse number 23. Many times we quote this scripture and we feel like that this verse is just nothing more for those that are lost without God and know not Him. But as I begin to, the Lord confirmed in my heart several weeks ago what the message was to be for tonight as we bathe things in prayer. And as I look at this, the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's many things in our DNA that we need a revival of. But tonight I want to preach to the message tonight is a revival of the knowledge of sin. The revival of the knowledge of sin. The reason I feel like the Lord has so impressed on my heart and my mind to deal with this tonight, and I'd love to shout it out and all those things, but this is what God has ordered for the service. The revival, the knowledge of sin. I'm afraid in our day and hour that sin is not sin no more, and that sin has become just something that is maybe just something dirty or something vile, but it's not detrimental to us like it should be to us as God's people. And I believe that we need to understand what sin is before we'll ever have revival. Now, the first thing, I like to look up words and definitions, so bear with me just for a little bit. But the word sin is a violation of a known rule. That's what sin is. Sin is a violation of a known rule. To literally violate a rule that is known. To do it even though there is knowledge of it. A voluntary departure of a moral rule. That's what sin is. The deterioration of moral character which manifests itself in positive acts of disobedience. A deterioration of moral character which has manifested itself in positive acts of disobedience. And I believe that is what sin is. It's a deterioration of moral character which shows up in disobedience of mankind. But I deny that sin is not sin no more. Amen. It's an alternate lifestyle or something of that nature. They've got some excuse of why that this thing has happened. But the problem is that it's even crept into our churches and crept into our lives. Now, we got to see some things here, first of all, about this thing of sin. It means to depart voluntarily from the path of duty prescribed by God. Now, I believe the Bible. And I believe this is God's Word. I believe this is what He's prescribed to us. Amen. And to depart from this book is to depart into sin. But I believe that we must understand that the principles that we base what we believe on is not what men teach us, but we base what we believe upon the Bible and what God has said in His Word. I always stand amazed at those that will divorce themselves even though the Bible says what it says. Now, me personally, I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe it's all inspired. I believe every jot, every tittle of it's inspired. I believe it. Amen. I believe the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. I believe that. Amen. I believe it is all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. Amen. And God has given us a book that is full of these things. Lots of people say, well, I don't like rules. Well, the book of Proverbs has over 1,000 rules alone in the book of Proverbs. This Bible is a Bible that is given to us to help us to conduct and to know how to be saved and know how to live in this world until we get to the glory world. Amen. This Bible is not a book of suggestions, but it is a book of demands. Amen. And a book of law. But the Bible, you know, I've heard people say, I heard a man say on his broadcast one time, that there's no law here, it's just all love. Amen. But you know, the Bible says here, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Without the law, there'll never be a knowledge of sin. If it wasn't for the law, there wouldn't be a one of us that'd be saved today. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, that it was preached to us. And we became guilty before God and was able to get saved by the grace of God. Amen. That come from the preaching of the law of God's Word. Amen. It was law that condemned me. But it was love that had compassion upon me and drew me unto the God of heaven. Amen. But sin is a violation of God's great law. Amen. But I want to say to you today that sin is very detrimental. We must understand that. I believe sin will keep us from having revival. I believe sin will keep you from having revival this week. I believe sin will keep your family and your home from seeing revival this week. Amen. That's why I feel like the Holy Ghost has just told us to go ahead and deal with it tonight. That we could get some things under the blood. Get it took care of. Amen. I don't know what your pastor's preached. All I know is what God's put on my heart. And if we can get some things under the blood tonight and get some things settled and just come clean with God, there's no telling what God will do. Amen. You know, one of the most prevalent things that we need today is for people to be honest to themselves. Just be honest. Now, I see these different things here in the Scriptures. A revival of the knowledge of sin may remind us that sin was what sent our Savior to the cross of Calvary.
Sin was what nailed him down. Sin was what scourged him. Sin was what plaited the crown of thorns upon him. Sin was what nailed him to the cross. He was lowered down into that hole upon the cross of Calvary. It was sin that did that. Amen. It was sin that crucified our Savior. It was sin that separated us from God. Amen. It's sin that's wrecked and ruined our country. It's sin that's wrecked and ruined our homes. It's sin that's wrecked and ruined the legislation and the leaders of our country. Amen. It is sin that's crept into our country. And people don't think sin's anymore. Sin is sin anymore. Amen. But sin is sin. And sin separates us from God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And sin is a reproach to any nation. Amen. We must understand that it is sin that keeps us from having what God would have us to have. Amen. I believe God wants us in revival. I believe He desires us in revival. I believe it's there for the appertaining of the mankind. But it is the acknowledging of sin and getting our hearts right before God before we'll ever see real revival. We need revival. If we didn't need revival, we wouldn't be here tonight. If we didn't need revival, our hearts wouldn't be so sad. Our shout wouldn't be so gone. Our joy wouldn't be so far. Our hearts would be bubbling over. But I'm telling you something, and I want to get on into the message maybe to help us tonight. But I want to say sin separates us from God. But God separates us from sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad God didn't save us in our sin, but I'm glad God saved us from our sin. Amen. 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 Sin keeps us from God, but God keeps us from sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, we know if we're having revival or not. Amen. If we're keeping from sin. And what things is detrimental and foul to us. Oh, how we desire to be pleasing to the God of our salvation. Amen. You can tell when you're starting to have revival. When you become more conscious and aware of what sin does in your life. When we learn not to accept sin. When we learn not to sweep it under the rug. They say one of the greatest things of the Welsh revival was instant confession. They had such a love for God that the very moment the sin had entered in, when sin bringeth forth, it bringeth forth death. And they just instantly said, "Oh God, would you forgive me of that?" They had instant confession. They didn't carry it around for days. They didn't carry it around for weeks. But they instantly had such a fear of God and a love for God and revival of the soul that they desired to confess it right then and there. Boy, we need to understand how sin separates us from God. Amen. I want to look on down at these different things here and give you a few, about 7 or 8 different things that sin does. And then we'll be done tonight. Amen. I want to say first of all tonight that sin separates. I've already said that sin separates us from God. Amen. The Bible says to draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. You know why there is a drawing nigh unto God? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from thee. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You know why there's a drawing nigh? You know why it is? It's not because we've fallen from grace. It's not because we've lost our salvation, but it is because there is sin that has come into our lives. It causes us to have distance between us and our God. Amen. But I'm glad it don't end there. I'm glad the Bible says to draw nigh to God, and God to draw nigh to us. You know what the devil try to convince us? He'll try to convince us if you mess up and you make a mistake and you do some things that you wish you not had done. He'll try to convince you that there's no way back. There's no way to get your heart right. And I'm glad, thank God, it ain't the way it is with God. Amen. And God gives us a way that we can get back to Him, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. How close are you to God? I tell you how close we are to God. We're as close to God as we want to be. If we want to be close to God, we'll get close to God. It's going to take somebody to get under a burden. Let's see old-fashioned revival. It's going to take somebody to get under a burden for these young'uns that's running around this church. It's going to take somebody that's going to care more about lost souls going to a burning hell than their own selfish interest goals and motives. Amen. It's going to take somebody that's going to care more about the leaders of our country and their souls and pray and seek the face of God in the secret place, that there'll be rewards that will be openly. Amen. Amen. Boy, we need revival. We need God to do things. And I believe God will do some things. Amen. Sin separates us from God. Amen. The second thing I see is that sin stains. Isaiah 1:18, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want to say tonight, I'm glad that God is a God that's not beyond reason. I'm glad God wants a reason with us. And God wants to work this thing out. God wants to talk it over. Amen. God wants to send revival. The third thing I see is sin produces silence. In the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 8, where I'll take the rest of the points of the message here if you want to look at this, of Psalm chapter number 51, talking about David when he had sinned with Bathsheba. We know that David went for a year without confessing his sin and getting his sin under blood. Oh, how miserable David was. What a shape David got in. Boy, you better be careful what rut you get in. Be at the traveling for the next 10 or 15 years. Makes me think about it, an old road sign they used to have when they didn't have paved roads and gravel roads. The old A models and T models. And the sign would say, be careful what ruts you get in. You may have to travel it for the next 20 miles. And I want to say to you, sometimes in our Christian life, we better be careful about the choices we make today. It may be 20 miles down the road. It may be 5 years down the road. It may be 10 years down the road before God grants us a place of repentance and lets us get up out of the rut and get those things under blood. You can't get your sin right when you just desire to. Amen. A lot of people don't believe that. You just can't get up and say, God, I'm sorry, and get out of the blood. Sometimes God has to work a burden of repentance down in your heart. And God will let you get out of the rut that you've been traveling in. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. But I'm glad, thank God, the rut ain't all the way from here to glory. I'm glad, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. I'm glad for those times that God will throw a little old rock down there in the rut and let us just bump up out of the rut and grant us a good place for repentance and get it under blood, get it washed, get it confessed, come up clean and keep on serving God. Amen, amen. I'm telling you something, God, He desires to send revival. God desires to have an intimate relationship with you as a born-again believer. But the devil's trying to convince us that sin does not matter. But sin does. Amen. 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 Sin produces silence. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 8. David has sinned with Bathsheba, and we know all these scriptures here. But for the sake of time, I just get down here to verse number 8. The Bible said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which has broken may rejoice. I tell you what sin will do for you. That sin will cause silence. It produces silence in your life. How long has it been since the choir singing has touched your soul? How long has it been since a man of God got up, labored, and prayed over the message, and got up and began to articulate the oracles of God into the hearing of mankind's ear? Amen. And it began to do something in your heart. If there's silence in your heart, there's sin in your heart. David said, make me to hear joy and gladness once again. He said, I'm tired of watching everybody in the choir shout around about being saved by the good grace of God. I'm tired of seeing them have the joy of God in their heart. Amen. He said, I'm tired of it. I want some down in my soul once again. God, make me to hear joy and gladness once again. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're shouting. I'm glad you're enjoying being saved. But brother, I'm telling you right now, I want to enjoy it too. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God. The only thing that's keeping you from having the joy of God in your heart once again is making your way down to an old-fashioned altar. Throwing up the white flag and say, God, I'm sick of this mess. I want to hear joy and gladness once again in my heart. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. God may turn amazing grace into amazing grace. Amen. 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 God will send the songs, but it'll take God to put them in our heart and make us hear joy and gladness once again. How long's it been? How long's it been since you were touched by the singing? How long's it been since you was touched by the preaching of God's Word? How long's it been since you've been touched? Amen. Answer me that. I'm not talking about somebody next to you. I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm talking about you, friend. When's the last time God touched you? Boy, God touched our preacher Sunday. When's the last time God touched you? Boy, God helped me in Sunday school. When's the last time God touched you? Some of you young folk, ain't no age limit on this. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm saying something to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that God would give these young people a heart for God. Fill them with the Holy Ghost of God. When somebody come by and say, you want to smoke? They'll say no. Amen. I'm telling you something. You get filled with God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Y'all shout a while. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something. God will do something in your heart when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. How long has it been since God touched you? I like seeing these young folk up there raise their hands tonight. That's a blessing. Most old folk don't even raise their hand no more. Where's our shouting Granny Bessie's? Amen. Where's those that let their hair down? Where's the makeup that runs? Amen. We're not hearing the joy and gladness of God anymore because of sin. It's sin. Amen. Sin. Amen. Amen. Where's the mamas that's going to teach the little girls how to shout? Where's the daddies that's going to teach the little boys how to worship God and honor God? Amen. I tell you something, you mom and dads, you ought to ask God to feed you with the Holy Ghost. That'd be an example to your children of what old time Holy Ghost, heaven sent worshiping God is. Amen. Sin produces silence. The fourth thing, sin produces shame. Verse number 9, the Bible says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Well, I just can't go on visitation tonight, preacher. Let me tell you why it ain't because you don't want to. Because I believe you're saved. By the grace of God, you have a concern for the souls of men. I don't care how backslid you are. Amen. The preaching of God's Word, God will deal with you. That's what the Holy Ghost has put in there. Amen. But I'm telling you something. Some of our excuses ain't because we ain't got time. It's because we're ashamed that we've got sin in our lives. Amen. I can't teach that class. I can't pray in public. I can't sing that special song that you want me to sing. I'm telling you something. Maybe you're ashamed because there's things in your life that you know is displeasing to God. You know that. Amen. Therefore, it produces shame in your life that you don't want to do anything for God. The reason you don't want to win your loved ones, sometimes we don't want to win our loved ones to God, is because we know we've got unconfessed sin in our lives. You see, David here, when he had this sin in his life, he didn't think about others as going to hell without God. He didn't think about nothing else. All he thought about was him and what he had done and his miserable condition. How he used to have the touch of God. How he used to have God's hand upon him. But I'm telling you something, when David got in this place of shame, friend, he felt dirty, he felt vile, he was ashamed. Then I see the sixth thing is that sin produces sadness. Look in verse number 12. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. Excuse me, let me back up. Sin produces a wrong spirit. In verse number 10, create me a clean heart, and God renew within me a right spirit. Sin produces a wrong spirit. You say, preacher, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I ain't doing so well, I'll say things and do things that the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that lives in me, as soon as I do them, He says, you know, that ain't right. You know, you used to not respond like that. You used to wouldn't say those things. You used to didn't have that attitude about everything. You used to didn't have that in your heart. Amen. You say, what's happened, preacher? Has God changed? I want to say to you that God never changes. What changes is our attitude and the atmosphere of our heart towards God. Amen. And I'm telling you something, that's what causes us to have a wrong spirit towards the things of God. David had a wrong spirit. He got mad at Nathan, the man of God, for preaching to him about his sin. He said, David, he said, thou art the man. And David got sideways about that. David got upset about that. That's why David wanted God to create him a clean heart and renew within him a right spirit. Amen. Wouldn't you like to have that clean heart back again? Wouldn't you like to have that right spirit back in your heart once again? You can tell when you got a wrong spirit. The preacher says we ought to go win somebody to God, and our flesh automatically says something foul or something that's not so kosher. You can tell if your spirit's right or not the way you respond to things. It may not necessarily be verbal, but I promise you it will be in the heart how we respond. Amen. 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 I want to say to you that sin produces a wrong spirit. Sin produces sadness. Verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Sin produces sadness. It produces sadness in the life of the child of God. Amen. We try to get up and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. It's kind of hard to do when you're sad. Amen. The preacher said, boy, ain't it good to be saved? And it's kind of hard to say amen with a real heart. Amen. 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 Wouldn't it be a blessing if the preacher said, boy, it's good to be saved? And we wouldn't have to say, oh, yeah, hypocritically. Amen. I've lost mine somewhere. Amen. I'll anoint yours a while. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing, amen, to be able to hear the Spirit of God once again and have that joy down in our heart about the things of God once again? Amen. I've seen that before. I've seen services where people's rejoicing over things and I just couldn't rejoice over it because I knew my heart wasn't right. But thanks God that He gives us the privilege to get some things under the blood and get those things right. You know what the devil tries to do, don't you? He tries to convince us that this thing's a dead-end road. He tries to convince us that when we do sin, that is the end of the road. But 1 John chapter number 2 teaches us different from that. My little children, I write these things, if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And I'll tell you something, the devil tries to tell us that that's the end of the road. That you'll never be used to God again. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You know what I like to do? I like to just crack open and let you see what the Word of God has to say about something. And the devil tries to tell us that that's the end of the road for the child of God. You'll never be used again. Why don't we try to go tell Peter that? Amen. Why don't we try to go tell him that it'd be the end of the road for you, Peter? But I'm glad, thank God, that it ain't. Amen. 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 He denied the Lord. Amen. Curse him. I'm telling you something. God is not a God. It's not a dead end street. Amen. God can restore His people back into fellowship with Him. I feel a little bit of a nudge there. I'm telling you something, I believe, Brother Barry, I believe with all my heart why a lot of people live a despondent, discouraged Christian life is because they've got saved with the grace of God and oh, how they have such a desire to be pleasing to the God that saved them. Boy, God carries them around for a little while and everything's just hunky-dory. All of a sudden, God sets you down and lets you start to walk a little bit. First thing you know, you find yourself flat on your face. Some people don't ever get over that fall. There's one lesson we can learn from a little child. You know what they do? They get right back up and they try it again. Do you know what I believe God honors? One of the greatest things God's honored. Amen. I believe God honors when we understand that we are nothing more than sinners saved by grace. And what we do is, oh God, I'm sorry. I confess it. I am so sorry. And get up
and keep on a marching towards the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians that get so devastated because there's things in their life. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. People say, well, you're a preacher and everything just hooky dory. Amen. 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 You know, amen. Amen. Oh, my soul. What it is you learn to go on in spite of this old wicked, depraved flesh. Amen, amen. But I'm telling you something, sin produces a sadness in the hearts and lives of God's people. Let me show you the seventh thing is, sin produces a lack of souls. We know the scripture here. But the Bible said, verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. If we're going to judge and use the Bible as the basis of how we judge things, David said, when I get my sin under blood and get it right and get a right spirit, he said, then I will teach transgressors thy way. You can almost take this scripture and apply the amount of souls being saved by the prevalence of sin in the lives of believers. Most people spend their time trying to keep themselves right, keep themselves out of trouble, and don't have time to think about that sinner that may be going to hell without God. Who knows what God wants to do this week? God ordains everything. And I'm telling you, there's no telling what God would desire to do tonight. Tonight is the night. I believe it hinges upon tonight. I believe it really does. To do business with God. I don't know what the Holy Ghost may speak to you about. I don't know what He may put His finger upon in your life. But God the Holy Ghost knows what He's a-doing. And as sure as I'm standing here tonight, the Lord of glory has impressed upon my heart to tell you tonight, we must understand the seriousness of sin and what sin does. I believe God has seen revival when we just be honest. And I read the text here and used it as a springboard. They say not to do that, but when God tells you something, you do it. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us would admit tonight that there may be things in our life that the Holy Ghost would put His finger on, put His finger on, put His finger on, put His finger on. We don't ever get it on the blood and just say, God, I'm tired of not hearing joy and gladness. I'm tired of feeling dirty. I'm tired of it, God. I want You to restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Oh God, then will I teach transgressors Thy ways. You remember when you first got saved, boy, that you wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. But boy, when we get down the road a little ways, things begin to change. But what God wants us to do is to have an open relationship with God. Amen. We need to have that open relationship with Him. Let me show you something. The Bible says, God which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I was preaching on that the other day, and one of the meanings of that secret place, and it means a closet, then it means like a pantry or something like that. But there's another meaning I found. It meant like a bridegroom's chamber. And what that meant was is when the bridegroom and the bride first came together, it was in the bridegroom's chamber there. It was an intimate place. Let me tell you what God many times wants with us. He wants us to enter into that secret place to get back to those intimate times with God in those places with Him. How long has it been? I quoted you at the beginning of the service, the secret to success is the success of what's done in secret. And if we want to see God send revival, we're going to have to do some business with God. Are you willing to? See, we want something that costs us nothing. Revival's going to cost us something. It may cost us a little bit of time in the mornings to pray. It may cost us a meal. It may cost us some sacrificing. But will it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it to see your loved ones walk down the aisle before the end of this week? Wouldn't it be worth it to feel the joy and the gladness of God back in your heart once again? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be excited about coming to church again? There is a remedy for sin. Did you know that? Say, preacher, I know about the blood of Jesus and all that. I'm talking about once you're saved, there's a remedy for sin. One of the remedies I believe for sin is in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you want me to tell you how? To have a preventative measure to sin, that is to hide the Word of God in our heart, that we might not sin against Him. First John chapter 2, verse 1, it says there again, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. God has given us 66 books. Amen. And why He's written us that we sin not. I want to let you in on a few things real quickly tonight. Do you realize that sin does not have dominion over us? You see, sometimes we don't understand that. Sin does not have dominion over us. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. If you want to look at it, the Bible teaches us that sin does not have dominion over us. Romans 6, 14. Let me read it. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which he was delivered unto you. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over us. 1 John 2:1 says that my little children write these things to you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and He is the propitiation for our sins, not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I want to tell you something tonight. We stand at a crossroads tonight. I'm not here for popularity, I promise you that. And I'm not here to make a name for myself. I'm here to get down to business. I want to ask you something. Do you really want revival tonight? If we understood that if we got revived, that may be what it takes to get our loved ones in, would we be willing to lay it all on the altar and say, God, please revive my heart? Now understand this. If you're waiting on your neighbor to get revived before you get revived, you're not going to get revived. I like what Gypsy Smith said. He said he drawed a circle on the ground, stood in the circle and said, God, revive what lies in this circle. It'll be my heart. It'll be your own personal heart. When it gets revived, we'll have revival. Amen. We need revival. Our children are crying for revival. Our country's crying for revival. Our churches are crying for revival. Can't you hear the groans and the pains? Can't you hear it? Amen. We need revival. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. Sin kept me from it, but now it keeps me from sin. Are we going to be willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pay the price? See for revival. So, preacher, I don't know if I can ever live up to that. You know what God may want from us? Just to be honest. That's what God wants. I'm trying to fill out the Holy Spirit here. I've seen times in my lives that I really needed God to do something. I'll never forget one time God told me to have a tent meet there in Etowah where little town there where I was raised. And I asked the lady where God told me the place to have it. And I asked the lady, her husband's dead. I said, ma'am, God told me to have a tent meet there. And she wouldn't let me have that tent meet. And I finally went to the woods and said, God, I said, I've done everything I know to do. I said, I can't do it. God, if you want to get done, you're going to have to do it. And you believe that lady called me the next day and said, I guess it'll be all right if you just go ahead and have that tent meet. It was through that tent meet that a gentleman come and got our name, turned our name in at the church we've been pastoring now for the last 10 years. You know what God may want from us? Sometimes say, I can. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go home and pray. I'm going to go home and read my Bible. I'm going to fast tomorrow. I'm going to do all these wonderful things, and God is going to send revival. It may take us getting in an old-fashioned altar and saying, God, I can't, but You can. Let's stand our feet, Brother Barry.